Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-.
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Say goodbye to diluted creams and serums that are often made up of 70% water and 15% preservatives, leaving minimal space for the ingredients your skin craves. The scientists behind Fiber Skincare have spent 15 years perfecting nanofibers, which are 500 times smaller than human hair. And just 1 year ago, they patented a way of wrapping these nanofibers around oil or liquid-based ingredients. The result was a formula that delivers 5 times more active ingredients compared to creams or serums with no need for fillers like water preservatives or emulsifiers. The first formulation made with this technology is a plant-based anti-wrinkle set of patches that you use over 7 days, applying them just like your favorite serums. Your skin will feel tighter in 10 seconds, and over 7 days, the program is clinically proven to reduce wrinkles by 19.4%. In fact, they have a tighter skin guarantee where if your skin isn't tighter in 7 days, they will give you your money back, no questions asked. Go to fiberskincare.com and use code unfiltered for 15% off.
For a little girl out there watching, I mean, if that was me back there, I'd be saying, practicing signing my autograph and just dreaming of playing in that league. And I think, you know, what I would encourage any little girl is that when you go to sleep at night, close your eyes and imagine yourself someday in the PWHL and playing. And you've got to be really tangibly willing to do things that other players aren't going to do. You got to beat out the competition. It's the same thing as on the boys' side of the game. So practice when no one's watching. Work on your shot. Work on your skating. Watch hockey.
Drop it like it's hot. Drop it like it's hot. Drop it like it's hot.
Natalie, what do I do?
I hope it's giddy giddy.
We are so excited to have you here. We had you on our podcast before, but there's just so many things that we want to talk to you about, and we needed to have you on again. I want to do a bit of an intro so everybody who doesn't know who this is Dr. I wonder if that ever gets old. Haley Wickenheiser. It's regarded one of the best female hockey players in the world with 7 world championships, 6 Olympic appearances, and 5 Olympic medals. She's a titan of sport and a leader in both on and off the ice, a trailblazer, the spot in the Hockey Hall of Fame,
Yep.
And the prestigious Order of Canada. She made hockey history as the first female player to notch a point in men's professional game and as the first woman to have played in or coached at 4 NHL development camps with the Philadelphia Flyers, Edmonton Oilers, and the Toronto Maple Leafs. Haley is retired from hockey. She retired in 2017 and the IOC in 2022. She's currently serving as the assistant GM of player development for the Toronto Maple Leafs, and this is going to throw you one if you didn't know, is a practicing family and emergency medicine freaking doctor. Are you kidding? Two of us are from one person. How did that all sit within one body?
You guys got a lot. Version.
lot. I think I even skipped out on some of the stuff just to go to. But I mean, you are just, you're such a hero and inspiration and a mentor to so many people.
I have two girls on my son's AAA team, and we did a podcast with Sarah Nurse. And when I said I was doing it with you, I just never, I mean, when you have sons and then who play in hockey, then when you have, see a female's perspective, I just think you mean so much to them, like hockey players who've made it and who have a name. I think that I just, when I, she almost was crying when I had said that, well, I had told Sarah that we had her on our team, and she was like, you mentioned me. And I was like, I hope you know how much you touch so many girls that are dying to play hockey and want to go further than just in their community center, and they're watching you guys complete dreams and beyond. So it's so freaking amazing what you do.
Well, it's come a long way. So it's good to see more opportunities, you know, as the years go by. It's much easier now than it was, I guess, when I started to play. So that's probably the thing that I'm most proud of in my career, to be honest, is that road has gotten easier. Still a long way to go, but it's there.
I'm blazing for them. Someone who's literally, you are. I read your book with my daughter. We read your book together. It was a school read. And I, for a lot of the book, I was like, what kept you in the sport? Because I was like, this does not sound fun. This did not sound like enjoyable. This sounded
hard. Really, really, really hard.
Yeah, a little bit terrible. So I was like, what kept you going?
Yeah, you know, when I look back, it actually was all those things. It was hard and terrible and wrong and lots of things that went on. But at the same time, on the flip side, I was able to kind of find like my path of joy in the game. And then I had enough people around me, like my mom and dad and my coaches, my teacher, the Zamboni driver at my local rink. Like I had, every time I would sort of get knocked down, there was always sort of someone there through my career to say, you keep going, you're pretty good at this. So I think I also had a very like high internal drive. So I had this thing about, I'll prove you wrong a lot growing up. So I think that's kind of what kept me going. But when I look back, knowing what I know, having gone through medical school, you know, all of the things, you know, it was pretty awful at times, I got to be honest. But my hope now is that it's much easier for a little girl to play hockey. You know, you walk into a rink, hockey bag and a hockey stick over your shoulder. Nobody's really looking twice. And, you know, I was that little girl. I cut my hair super short, tried to look like a little boy so I could blend in and not have to listen to all the abuse and harassment that I had to go through. So, yeah. But I think on the other side of that, too, is like the resiliency that I developed. Not that that's necessarily what it has to be like.
Right.
But like, I believe that I can pretty much get through just about anything in life, having done that as a young kid. And so it equipped me well, like to handle adversity growing up too. So I didn't do it for that reason at the time, nor did my parents. They actually many times asked me if I wanted to quit and were very supportive of it. Yeah.
Wow.
So, yeah. But I don't know. I always had this joy and love. I love to play hockey. And every time I got on the ice, I was safe there. No one could touch me there. So that's what kept me going, I think.
Yeah. That's so funny. I always see, when I see anybody playing hockey, I think to myself, from my perspective, I can't see any joy in that.
And my son, it looks like a form of exercise. Yeah, like a form of fun.
And then you got to put all that stuff on. And it just seems so fun. Like, I always like saying to the kids on the way to practice, like, you're excited to do this? You want to, like, I don't understand how all of it's fun. But my little son was watching one of her daughters dance. And he goes to me just like, so authentically, I don't understand how she finds this fun. And I was like, Dal, you know how I feel about your hockey.
Yeah, again, it's not for everyone for sure, but I am glad I don't have to put on that all that gear again anymore. But, you know, when you look back, you're like, oh yeah, I stunk a lot through the years, but that's okay.
Yeah, and it's so much money now. It is so, yeah. It's so, yeah. And my husband played hockey. I think we talked about this last time, and a lot of his friends with that also played hockey. All their kids start with wood sticks now, like the younger generation with the wood sticks. And he's like, actually, there's something about the flex. He is like now a converter into the flex and the sticks and the things. And like, they, if they could do it right. And all of them are having like an argument about the wood for some, like, oh my God, this is crazy, because the equipment has come so far and things have changed so much since when they played.
Yeah. And I mean, it's $1,000 for a pair of skates. It's $300 for a stick. I didn't get a new stick, I think, until I was probably 10 years old. I think I used the same stick from 6 to 10. You know, I had hand-me-down equipment until I was 12. No, my parents could have probably afforded new gear. They were teachers. We weren't poor. We were just middle-class people, but they just were like, you don't need it. Their skates are fine. Use skates are fine. You use shoulder pads are fine. Like, you don't need it. So, but now, yeah, it's all the technology, especially in the sticks and the skates, has really come a long way. Yeah.
And they, yeah. And they all know, they're look, they're like, that's the Hyperlite. I'm like, what are you talking about right now? It's a different language.
But it's like, just on that note, like, we were saying how, well, hockey's so expensive, all the equipment's so expensive. And now there are so many extra things that you can do and pay for with kids to make them so much better at a young age. Like, I feel like, you know, when you talk about it, it's like you went, nobody was forcing you, you were going to the practice, but you weren't like spending every waking hour becoming better. And Kat had said, like, the kids are actually getting better younger and they're becoming better athletes. How do we, like
I said, the bar keeps getting higher and what we're measuring them against, because everyone is doing three, like, secret skates and hiring coaches, and you know your kid really wants to play, but all of a sudden they're earmarked from when they're supposed to stop in March to September. These kids have gotten significantly better and they're no longer looked at because the measurement is here.
And Sarah was saying how she's like, I did not play in the summer at all. It's like, if your kid isn't like playing in the summer, they're, when September comes, they're going to be behind everybody else. How do we like manage this time?
Yeah, I know. I feel for hockey parents. I feel for you guys, because it's gotten crazy. I think it's actually, I think I understand the pressure to want to keep up with the Joneses, so to speak, and do all these extra things. But I think in the long run, it's actually counterproductive and works against the kid to play hockey year round and to do all of these things. Because my role is in development. So I get to watch a player that's 16, 17 years old until he is playing for the Toronto Maple Leafs, and having done this for a few years, what you really see is the talent and the physical ability and all of those things, you eventually find your way. And often these kids that are early specializers, they may be good at 9 and 10, and yes, they're on the AAA, but as time goes by, it goes like this, the other way. And so if you talk to anyone in elite sport, most people will agree, don't play one sport year round. Do something else. Throw your skates away. Pick up another thing. Especially in the GTA here in Toronto, I sense that everyone has a skills coach. Everyone's practicing on the ice 5-6 days a week. I personally don't think that's a great way forward. I would encourage my kid to play other sports, do other things. But I know there's that pressure that if you know you haven't made it, you get lost in the shuffle. But I do have a pretty good belief that eventually the best players, you're found out wherever you're playing. Someone's going to notice you.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much. But when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you. Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why United Healthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
This message comes from BOF sponsor eBay. You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee, and you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, or sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly. eBay gets it. So look for the blue check mark next to that thing you love and be confident that every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is checked by experts. With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit eBay.com for terms.
not just a belief. I believe you're working where people have made it there that are proven that what they did is probably what you're saying. Because I mean, I'm lucky that my husband believes the same, and burnout is a massive factor because he believes kids.
Yeah.
How, and I think this is one of the questions, how are we balancing, like my kid would go on the ice 24/7 if he could. He when I tell him he can't play, he's like, I want to go, you know, the 6 a.m. or the 5 a.m. skates, and he does a school team, and I'm like, just chill, your body needs to chill. How are we encouraging, pushing, pulling, like when they want to be there? Because you know, some parents are pushing their kids there, but how are we supporting versus pushing? And I think that's what I see a lot in parents being like the biggest cheerleaders rather than the kid wanting it, and you feel like you want to push them because they might want to quit, and then they're like, why'd you let me quit? And I'm like, oh, because you wanted to.
Right. Well, I always tell parents, like, it has to be your kid's dream, not yours. And I think that's a big problem in hockey. I imagine we'll start to see that creep into the female side of the game too now, with women's professional hockey and money to be made out there. So what I think is it has to come from the child. So there's a difference between your kid wanting to play and be on the ice all the time and you wanting your kid to be on the ice all the time. And so I can kind of only use the example I was raised with, was my mom and dad, where I would have probably played hockey 12 months of the year. I didn't have that option because we grew up in a small town in Saskatchewan. So it was swimming, and then we would do a hockey school for 1 to 2 weeks every summer. And that seemed to work well. Throw the skates away, swimming, ball, and then come back. So I think that if the child is really wanting to do that, there's probably nothing wrong with that. I would just encourage, like, maybe multi-sports. And my mom and dad had a rule, like, we had to play an instrument. That was the rule until we were 12 years old. My dad was a drummer in a rock band. And so they were like, you have to learn an instrument. And I just hated the piano. I really hated it. And at 12, my mom and dad were like, okay, you can decide if you want to stay in piano lessons or quit now. And I immediately quit. So I was like, I'm done with this, you know, classical music. I want to play, like, my own stuff. And but I'm really glad looking back that they kind of forced me to play those extra couple of years that I can pick up sheet music and, you know, hack away on the piano, right? So I think that you kind of have to know your child. There isn't, like, one way forward, but where the danger zone is for me is when it becomes the parent's dream and not the kid's. That's I think that's the sweet spot.
You think, like, there's going to be a mental health movement? I know there isn't some in the older, like, you see in the OHL, like, I see some of it, a conversation around, but I'm, like, wondering, when is this, maybe it's going to take the female sport to, like, bring it in, but when is this whole mental health movement? Because we see the way coaches act, and we see the way parents act, and we see the intense pressure on young children, and I'm like, why do we not talk about that in sport yet, in terms of youth sport and what we're doing to them? Or I don't know, like, are you seeing this conversation anywhere yet, or what is that?
Yeah, I am. I think part of coming out of the Hockey Canada scandal here in the last year or two has really forced sport organizations in every sport in this country to take a look at their harassment and abuse policies, their best practices. I know that, like, Sheldon Kennedy, former hockey player, has done a lot around this in this area of mental health. I think hockey is coming to the forefront of being more and more aware. In the NHL, I think they have a pretty good program in place to help players. The OHL, I think, has something in place. Minor hockey, you can really only force parents to go through the modules and the courses if they're coaches and safe in sport and things like that. So I think it's there. I think it's out there. But what I've seen inside the world of medicine coming out of COVID is, and you guys probably see this in your own kids and their friends, is, like, kids really struggled, and it's now the fallout of coming out of this pandemic, of kids being isolated, eating disorders, mental health struggles with, like, reintegration into life and all these things. And inside sports. So I think we have to all police ourselves, like, really, you know, it's hard when it's not your kid, but we have a responsibility to take care of kids in society. So but I do see, like, some pretty good programs in place. I don't think it's non-existent. Yeah.
Okay. I'm glad to hear that, because I do feel like there is a lot of antics that get, you know, that get allowed in sport. And as moms raising children in sport, competitive sport, I think it is a big fear when you see the Hockey Canada assault charges, and you do feel like, we just keep watching the same cycles happen, and how, you know, are we making sure that we're raising children when it is feels sometimes like an entitled sport that we, I love the females on the team, by the way. I love when the boys and the girls play together at a high level, because I just feel like the conversation for dressing rooms and just the level of respect, because often the girls are way better skaters than any of the boys, and just their level of compete is so strong. And I love it. And I hope that they don't, I hope they don't all leave to, I mean, I hope they go to the PWHL and live their dream, but I do love seeing, I'm so thankful we have females on our team and that my son gets to look at them as an equal. And it's not like you're on the girl league. It's like, you're good. You're a badass. You're amazing. And I hope we don't lose that, you know?
Yeah, no, I think it should always be the choice. I think it should always be, the girls should always have the choice. That's when I get asked that question, oh, girls hockey or mixed or whatever, I'm like, I grew up having to only play on boys teams. So for me, that I agree with that. It's now just becoming more organic that there's more and more girls leagues and teams out there. So I think a lot of girls will choose to play, you know, where I can dress in the same dressing room as 20 other players. There's a social component. There's all of that. But there are those girls that want to play with the boys, and there's nothing wrong with that. But it does come with its own challenges.
Yeah, they're still young. I do love it, though. I do love that there is a different level of, you know, I
love people for them. Mine are all gone. All the girls are gone.
Yeah.
Yes. And I also am so jealous when I see any team that has a woman coach, even if it's the trainer, someone on that, like a female perspective on the bench, because yeah. I've wished that was like a prerequisite for them.
Yeah, I think it's actually a really healthy thing. I know in my job with the Leafs, myself, Danielle Goya was one of my former teammates and my coach eventually. You know, there's three of us. Michelle Moore works with us in skating development and in our development side. And there, you bring a nice dynamic, having that male-female dynamic. There's just things that players will do and say as a female in that environment that they're not going to tell a guy, and maybe vice versa. I don't know. But I think it's a nice working environment when you have diversity of thought and of gender and all that stuff. So yeah, it's been good.
Yeah. And I feel like, and it's so hard too when we think about, like, our kids are spending so much time with their team and their coaches, having conversations and being led by people that we don't get to handpick, which I know is life. But like the culture inside of the locker room and all of that, and then being parents who want coaches to be like, have the same kind of like morals that we have. Is there a way that we parents can work with the coaches to make the players more aware of the positive culture? I just recently had a coach who was really, really great at that, but I don't see a lot of these coaches being like that.
It's interesting. I think it is up. I mean, these are children, right? This is minor hockey. This isn't pro hockey. So coaches are, I think, often still parents, are they not? Or are they coming
fired?
No, these are the hired. Yeah, this is all kind of new to me too. Yeah, this is a whole other dynamic. When, you know, when I was growing up, it was, the coaches were always parents most of the time.
Yeah.
Like associated. But now yes, they're hired. And that's difficult. I just think that then parents have to put positive pressure on the hiring organization, if it's GTIHL or whatever that is, that the focus has to be on fun and positivity first, development first, versus win at all costs. And I think that if you're in a situation like that as parents, it's hard, it's intimidating, but these are children and you have every right to advocate for things to be done in a positive manner. And if they're not, to be able to take that forward. And it's not an easy thing, because I understand ice time and the risks that come with that, but you have to be, I think, brave enough to do that. But it often just comes to dialogue, communication with the coach, like suggestions, and you can always suggest things in a positive way. And if it's that unhealthy, they shouldn't be on the bench in the first place.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times.
Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com. A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
I think you need another job, and it's called like the head of the Ontario Lynx of all of the sports of the hockey.
I think that would be so good to have you.
She loves her everything. She just comes to games and she sees the coach and goes, you're out.
Yeah, yeah. You're like, yeah, on. You're on.
Inappropriate behavior.
There should be a zero tolerance policy. Like, I run my hockey festival, WickFest. We have big signs when people walk into the rink. Zero tolerance for harassment and abuse. Yeah.
It was so fun, by the way, that it was in Halifax. So where was it this year?
We have it in Calgary and Vancouver, and we're moving it here to the G. Well, we're going to spread them across country. So it'll be Calgary, Vancouver. It'll be GTA in April, the 12th to 14th for our 5 to 9 year olds. And then hopefully one in the fall here in the GTA summer, Markham, Ajax. I'm working on it. Saskatoon and Halifax are on the horizon. So we work.
Do you want to tell them what it is? Because I saw it online and I was like, that looks like so much fun. WickFest. Yeah.
WickFest. So over 14 years, we've worked with 30,000 kids. So what it is 5 to 18 years old in every division and every ability level, AAA to house league. We have about 80 to 110 teams in each tournament. So the kids play 5 games, but on top of that, they sign up for sessions off the ice in professional development weekend for kids in hockey. So things like self-esteem, self-defense, nutrition, equipment. We did a mammogram of mimosas for moms. We have coaches. We bring in NHL and Olympic athletes to talk to the players and the coaches. And so they sign up for all this stuff. And then we also do like concerts and all sorts of fun stuff through the...
Yes, parties.
Yeah, parties. So it's a giant party for kids, girls in hockey, Thursday through Sunday. We're also...
Well, girls in hockey.
Girls that play on boys teams too. We have a program that's set up for them so they can come in and go on the ice too. So yeah, I'm excited about bringing it to Toronto here in April, and yeah, just keep growing. But we're very zero tolerance policy based. So any sort of anything, you're out. That's my rule.
I hear this from boys. Do they have the boys? Don't need it. They have all the things. The girls, yeah, they need the behavior and the behavior issues. Yeah, that is a big conversation. What can people do to support the PWHL? What can we do in terms of, you know, average moms who maybe have boys and not girls in hockey, and we're actually taking our boys to our two sons to the game on the 16th in Toronto. But like, what else can we do as moms to make sure that we are showing, you know, our boys that also the girls are amazing and wicked and good, and this isn't about them being better. You know, I want to make sure that we're raising good sons is my biggest concern, and that we're
to support.
Yeah, to support and show that, you know, there's room for everybody.
Yeah, well, it's really cool. You know, when little, you know, always used to be little girls, now lots of little boys come up, they want your autograph, or they watch the games. And the Tim Hortons card packs that were last year, they had a lot of women players. So I think lots of little boys got those. So lots of things can be done. I think what you guys are doing, go to the games, support, you know, we say, yeah, I support it, then buy a ticket, go to the game, because that's, you know, really important. Watch it when it's on TV, watch with your sons, talk about it, just normalize it. Like my son, he's 23 now, but when he was little and I was playing on the national team, I remember one day where he said to me, oh, mom, do boys play hockey too? Because he was only exposed to all these women playing hockey. So he had
love that.
Yeah. And so that was normal for him, was just to go to the rink and it's all women. And now, like, he could care less about the NHL or hockey for that matter, but he grew up seeing, you know, strong female athletes. And I think that it is really important to put our kids in that environment, talk about it like that, and just normalize it. Nothing special or outstanding that you have to do. I think just exposing it, yeah, it makes a big difference.
My daughter, who's 8, because I put the PWHL on whenever it's on, just on the background, because, you know, it's just so they know that it's just on. And she's like, "Can they? Where's the girls' football league?" And I was like, "Oh, we don't have that yet." You know, but it was for her. She was like, "Can they?" That's a great question. But I love that she's grown up in a time where it's normal for them to play, for females to be playing hockey too. And the walk-ins, have you seen the walk-ins? Like when they walk in with the baby and the stroller?
Yeah. Yes.
It's the best because I'm like, you know, everyone's like, "Oh, Taylor Swift's a distraction." And I'm like, then there's women walking in with their babies to go play a game in hockey. Like, you know what I mean? I was like, it is so good to see, like, just how much women do as opposed to, no, I won't say it. But you know what I mean.
I used to have my son in his little bassinet. I'd put him in the penalty box with 3 panes of glass around so he could get hit by a puck, and we'd practice and he'd sleep because it was a cold rink. And, you know, he was just like the little rink mascot because I was the only one with a kid for many years on the national team. But yeah, like it's totally a different dynamic. But I think it's important for people to see that. And, you know, on the whole Taylor Swift thing, most watched Super Bowl in history. I don't think it's a coincidence that the Swift effect and the amount of money that everyone is going to make and benefit from this. And also the little girls, the eyeballs are on football. So anybody that's like poo-pooing Taylor Swift should just, you know, take a hike.
I think she started like $340 million for going to like 5 games or something, like to the NFL and that team. I was like, they should be giving her a gold box just to like show up. So
yeah, but at least a sweater, piece of tickets or something.
Literally something. What do you think, like, the how big do you think the PWHL is going to go? And do we think that, I mean, in terms of little girls watching right now, I know there's a ton of scholarships. I know that, like, school hockey is becoming big for girls. Like, if you're a little girl at home watching right now, what is something you advice you would give them? Or what is something as a mom we can say to those little girls who are like, I want to do that? Do you think it's going to be a hard path? Like, is it something that we can feasibly keep dreaming? Like, you know what I mean? Is it doing well? And are we doing well here?
I think it's doing very well. I think it seems like the money that's behind the league is legit. You know, the Mark Walter group that owns the Dodgers, this is a billionaire with a lot of deep pockets who seems to have committed. So that's the most important thing, because the reality is this league will probably lose money for several years before it becomes profitable. The same thing like the WNBA and other startup leagues. So someone there that's willing to go through the pain of that to come out on the other side. But the, you know, the attendance and the interest, I think, so far has been great for the league. So I think it's in a good spot to continue on. For a little girl out there watching, I mean, if that was me back there, I'd be saying, practicing signing my autograph and just dreaming of playing in that league. And I think, you know, what I would encourage any little girl is that when you go to sleep at night, close your eyes and imagine yourself someday in the PWHL and playing. And you've got to be really tangibly willing to do things that other players aren't going to do. You got to beat out the competition. It's the same thing as on the boys' side of the game. So practice when no one's watching, work on your shot, work on your skating, watch hockey. Like, I find a lot of girls don't watch as much hockey as I would think, as I would like them to learn about the game. So watch the game if it's a passion of yours and really develop your skills. And then don't put yourself in a box, because anything's possible. Just go for it. You have to learn not to listen to the critical opinion of others, I think, as a kid in sport, and learn how to take feedback and criticism when people, you know, ask questions, those kinds of things. But yeah, it's just they're, you know, now they're making some money, but I foresee 10, 20 years down the road, they'll be making some real money. It'll be exciting.
I love that. And last question, do you think we'll get to a place where females will ever play in the NHL? Or is that too hard of a question?
I don't think so, just because now there's professional women's hockey.
Yeah.
Physically, I believe I'm the closest that's ever come. I played pro men's hockey for 3 years in Europe, so I understand what that takes. Pretty difficult to do. And to 82 game season, game in and game out. But just, and also just the nature of having women's pro hockey, I see that that's the path that probably wouldn't be the other way, I don't think.
Yeah, I just love it. No, I love that. I love that they can have that dream now, right? Their dream isn't just, their dream's attainable, and that's the most beautiful thing. And you did it without the league, and that's freaking remarkable. And you keep killing it.
And then you became a doctor.
And then you became a doctor. So that's that. We thank you so much for your time. My son got to skate with you, and they still talk about your shot. So I love that he got to meet you, and they were so eager. They didn't want to get off the ice. They just wanted to keep going and going and going. So I'm just so thankful.
They were good. I had a good time with those guys. It was fun.
I would love to see you take on a team. I would love to see the female hockey players just kick those cocky 12-year-olds' asses. You know, the little boys are like, I would just love it. Anyways, another day. We're so thankful that we've gotten to know you, and thank you for doing what you do. Truly, it's been remarkable to watch the PWHL and all of these things come to life, and we're just appreciative of you.
Thanks to you guys for supporting and shining a light. That's what the girls need now moving forward. So you got kids in it, so you understand. It's fun. I was talking to Eric Lindros yesterday, former NHL legend, and his little daughter is playing hockey. So he's, of course, all in, invested, and talking about the game. And so the more players like that have little girls growing up playing the game, it also helps too. So yeah, thanks for
that. You're right. We need some of the boys and men to also leverage, you know, we need them to support and get excited about it as well.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's cool. So thanks for having me, you guys.
Thank you so much.
See you later. Bye.